For the nation of Israel, there was a real sense of pride in this God of the universe that in a very special way was their special God. They had marvelous miracles that they could wrap themselves around and that they would amaze them because of the way that God delivered the nation out of Egypt. How that he carried them up and brought them to Mount Sinai, where he gave them his law, and where they proceeded to go through the wilderness. And within that experience, as dreadful as it was, God was with them every step of the way. It's not insignificant that the nation of Israel was celebrating these special victories in the life of the nation. And they celebrated them with water and with bread and with light. It is not coincidence that when Jesus came, that he came as the I Am, that introduced himself to Moses back in Exodus. But as he came as this I Am, he was letting them know he was the bread of life. He was the living water. And as we will see today, he is the light of the world. And as we look at this picture of Jesus, we know it was very intentional. So today there's three things I want us to see about Jesus in coming to the people with the message that he had. It was one of illumination, one of revelation, and one of invitation. So if you would, please join with me in your Bibles in John chapter 8 as we continue our study in the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 12 and noticing first off illumination. Okay, I didn't know where my verses stopped, so I had to turn around and figure that out. Okay, here we go, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but it will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I am, where I came from, and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." Jesus declares himself the light of the world. Now, there are lots of lights. You know, you've got the little tiny night lights. Yeah, they serve their purpose. And you've got these giant beacons on a lighthouse that give off millions of candle lumens, whatever they measure light with. But despite how many lights there are, there's only one light of the world, and that is Jesus. Light is an interesting concept. Scientists will disagree on the subject. Some will say that light is waves. Others will say no, light is particular matter. Well, then there'll be others that will say, well, it's kind of a combination of both because they've got properties of waves and they have properties of matter. But there'll be other scientists that say, no, that can't be. You can't have both. It can't be both waves and particular matter. And so, since the scientists are confused, it is absolutely no wonder whatsoever that children don't have any idea what light is. They just know what it does. They enter a dark room and they flip a switch. And so we can see that with this, that they're going, well, what's going on here? Trustees, did someone forget to pay the light bill? As we're looking at the situation of the children with light, they just know instinctively that if you want to go into a dark room, I don't have to understand light. I just have to flip the switch. When it comes to us spiritually, oh, that was amazing. When it comes to flipping the switch of light in our life, Jesus as the light of the world is not coming to tell us of whether it is wave or particle matter. He's dealing with it in the sense of a spiritual reality. And that spiritual reality is that if you want to turn the light on, if you want to be able to see clearly in a dark place, turn on the light. And I am the light of the world. So Jesus is wanting them to enter into this discussion about illumination. Unfortunately, as the light of the world, with all the things that Jesus is going to shine his light upon, the most prominent thing that the light does is show us those things that are not quite so good. Anyone here ever live in the South? Okay, for those few of us that have experienced this, take our word for it. Cockroaches like to live above the area where things freeze. Okay, so they're down there. And you can think, oh, I keep my cupboards clean. I do everything I can. I mop my floors. I vacuum. And so I'm not going to have cockroaches. Well, you come out in the middle of the night and you turn the light on in the kitchen and you get this as they're disappearing because they exist in the darkness. What an absolutely perfect picture for us that when Jesus' light shines upon us, we see all of our imperfection. We see all of our sin. And we're going now, well, that's not a really nice thing for the light of the world to do, is it? Well, it's the nicest thing in the world he could do. Because if we weren't aware of the spiritual cockroaches in our life, we would let them infest our life and never do anything about it. But the light gives us the opportunity to say, there's a problem. And of course, if there's a problem, there needs to be a solution. It's interesting that as Jesus is declaring to them, I am the light of the world, they try to derail him. They try to get him out of what he's talking about. And they're talking about him being a witness. You can really sense a bit of a, who's this guy think he is? As they're addressing him and they're saying, your witness is not valid. You can't testify of yourself. Rabbinic law was very clear, in which it stated that one could not witness for themselves. Now, they had had rabbinic law, tradition alongside the law of God for so long, they failed to separate the two. And in so doing, they thought that they had done such an excellent job of knowing the law of God that they could dictate to the very Son of God what it said. And the great failure that Jesus came to them to address was you think you know so much about the law of God, but you do not even know the God of the law. Secondly, we can see that we get into the revelation, as we'll pick up our reading there at verse 17. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they ask him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where you go, where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come?'" But he continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they ask. "Just what I have been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." As Jesus came to illumine things, to show on the world that he was coming to shine his light. And very much the shining of his light is going to show those spiritual cockroaches in our life. Yeah, it makes us kind of feel like that wasn't a real nice thing to do. When we get to the end of the story, we're going to realize it's the absolute best thing he can do. But here we can see that he's talking about this special relationship that he has with the Father. And within this special relationship that Jesus has with the Father, that he has come to make the Father known. He has come to reveal him. And that's what the word revelation is just coming to. You're coming to reveal something, to show it for what it is. And as he has come to reveal this character of the Father, and we're looking at this, "I am the light of the world. I have this special relationship with the Father, and I've come to make him known to you so that you may also know the Father." We'll begin to understand that within this revelation of who God is, what his character is, that we have to eliminate those things out of our life to be able to stand before God. And yet, that is absolutely impossible for us to do. We had to have it done for us. And we continue to have it done for us. We will, on this side of eternity, never have the ability to cleanse ourselves. Jesus came to be the light of the world. He came to reveal the Father, and in so doing, he is offering the solution. There had to be a solution to what the light showed. And so within this, we certainly can understand that God is wanting to make it understand we have to believe in his illumination. We have to believe in his revelation, or perhaps we're going to come to the point that we don't end up so well. Verse 24 again. "I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be." Jesus is saying, "I am. taking the very name of God in the Old Testament as it was revealed, and he puts on that different qualifications within this verse. They hate him for it. They recognize who he's claiming to be. He's claiming to be equal with God. Who else could be the light of the world? Who else could be the revealer of the Father, but someone who shared his very character, his very personality, his very essence? He had to be God to his very core to be able to reveal God. And so within this, it becomes such a clear picture that we've got this kind of thing that Jesus is setting himself up here to be within this, that, hey, you guys are going to recognize someday who I am. And that day is when he hangs on the cross. They're going to go, oh, wow, we kind of messed this one up, didn't we? And yet, even at that point, they will not repent. They were going to die in their sins. But Jesus is very clear here. Even though he has the right, even though he has the ability to judge, that isn't his purpose. Jesus came to save. He came to seek the lost. And in so doing, that is what his purpose is. And he wants everyone to avoid judgment by accepting his illumination and revelation. But to make the point complete, he has to give invitation. Verses 27 through 30. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Jesus would not tell us, "I am the light of the world," simply to impress us. That just isn't his nature. He does not demonstrate to us that he is not only the light of the world that is going to make us aware of the crud in our lives that needs to be set right, without also providing the solution. And so we can see within this that as Jesus is setting things up here, he wants our hearts, our lives, to be illumined by his light, so that we know that as he has revealed the Father to us, it isn't so that we can go, "Oh wow, isn't God mighty? Isn't God wonderful?" He does it so that we may actually engage in a relationship with him. That's the goal, and that's the reason for the invitation. He's wanting us to be able to take advantage of his illumination and his revelation. He's wanting us to bring this home for ourselves. If we could, Jesus is not a championship trophy that we would set inside some protected glass case to come by and admire. "Oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't he lovely?" Jesus comes to us because he wants to be real. And for those of us who already know Jesus Christ, we know the impact that has on us. He has come not to only be beside us, but he has promised that each one of us as an individual that has put our faith and trust in him, we can say, "I am in Christ, and Christ is in me." There's this relationship that just goes beyond all comprehension. And within that, it's like, okay, so this is the light that's going to be shining that we need to get ourselves in line with. And so within this invitation that Jesus gives, He wants us to come into his light. He wants us to come to know this one he has come to reveal. He wants us to receive him. He wants us to trust him. And if we do, it will change our lives forever. Three things that I want to kind of be able to present to you of a way of perhaps being able to take this message home with you today. And if you feel like, you know, hey, I can handle one, I'm not ready for two, that's fine. Take one home with you. If you get through two and you're like, I got those first two, what's the third one? Well, then just hang with me all the way to the end. Okay, number one, let the light shine. The closer you get to light, the brighter it is. You know, right now, if somebody was shining a flashlight in the back of the sanctuary, I go, there's a light. Probably a mag light, one of those expensive, nice ones. Yeah, it's, okay, that's a light, I can see that. But if they brought it right up here and went, that would be really, really bright. The closer we get to the light, the brighter it is. The closer we get to the light of the world, the more that it will shine on our life, the more that we will realize he is who he says he was, is. He's always the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't want to get caught up on a verb form here. The light of the world has always been the same. Light in the Bible is always a picture of God and his holiness. That is why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Okay, so as we're looking at this, obviously if you want a clear view of yourself, you need to let the light shine. If you want a clear view of what it is you're supposed to do, you got to let the light shine. If you want to know all that God has for you in your life and what you're supposed to do about it, you have got to let the light of the world shine in your life. Number two, God reveals himself so we may know him. What an absolutely wonderful truth. We should all have a real good picture. It took a tremendous effort by God before eternity began that he had this plan in place that his very own son would come and redeem man because man has a natural propensity running away from him. And God's going, okay, we gotta fix this. If it's broke, we gotta fix it. Well, man was broke, and so it did need to be fixed. And so within this, you know, we know that as God is demonstrating himself of making this effort on our behalf, that God is always true. It's his character. He is always faithful. It's who he is. That when God says, I love you, and I want to be in a relationship with you, he really, really means it. So as we're looking at this idea of trust, we should be comforted. We should be encouraged by God revealing himself to us that we can be in relationship with him. That should make us feel really, really good inside, because God has so wanted us to experience him. As God shows himself true and faithful, our faith will grow. So as we wrap ourselves around this part of the message of God revealing himself to us that we may know him, that should be giving us greater trust our faith will grow. We will increase. And as we do, we look for opportunities to trust him even more, to let your faith grow. Number three, people are hurting and looking for relief. There is not a single person here this morning that at the moment they recognized their need of Jesus Christ in their life was coming as the star of the show, was coming as some sort of celebrity, that was coming as some sort of hero. Because when we come to Jesus, who is the light of the world, he shows us we are less than perfect. Much, much less. And so every single one of us, when we came to Jesus Christ, it wasn't like, I'm the king of the world, Jesus, can't you use me on your team? No. Every single one of us, at the moment that we came to faith in Jesus Christ, it was like, oh my, look at my life. I've never had such a light shine on me like this. Can anybody else see this light shining on my junk? All of the crud in my life. Ah. It's at that moment. It's at that moment that we realize the light of the world is setting us up for us to know the Father, for us to know God and his forgiveness. And it's within that that he gives the invitation. Come. The point is very clear. Every single person, when they come to Jesus Christ, is hurting, is broken, and is looking for some kind of hope. That's where we were. That's exactly the place we were when we were there. How can we so forget, oh, the Lord is so joy, you just need some of the joy I've got. That's great. That is absolutely true. But I think maybe we need to introduce it a little bit differently. Because the people out there, as much as they may want to act like they're the king of the world, as much as they may want to act like they've got it all together, and I don't have any problems, inside, they know their life is full of heartache and trouble and failure. And there's only one place they can go. There's only one clear path that is illuminated, and that is to Jesus Christ. I'm hoping for those of you that have stayed with me all the way here to point number three would take this challenge upon yourself, that you would be willing to share hope with a hurting person this week. Because the call of Jesus Christ that called us to be his own is the same Lord and Savior that is calling us to now help him shine the light. Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And Lord, so often that when we hear of your grace, when we hear of your amazing invitation to come and know you, that we can get fixed what is broken in our life, which is that which separates us from the Creator, from you, from your love, from your grace. Lord, that we would be able to realize you came to shine the light. You came to reveal the solution. You came to invite us, that now that we have been broken, that we can go and get ourselves fixed in the light of the world, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're finding yourself here now feeling like a little bit of divine light has shined on your life, and it makes you a little bit uncomfortable, two things. One, you're in really good company. We're all feeling it. Secondly, take advantage of it. Talk to the Lord right now and let him know, thank you for making me aware of that little spiritual cockroach that's trying to run and hide. I saw it. I know you see it. Let's deal with it, that we can be better, that we can be more effective. Let us stand. Certainly want to give opportunity to anyone that would have a decision that they would wish to make public today. If you know Lord and if you know the Lord as your own personal Lord and Savior, would like to be baptized, just ask you to come forward and let us know that. If your intent would be to become a member of Clear Lake Christian Church, come and let us know of your intent. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I'm going to give this to you hard and I'm going to give it to you easy. Come down here right now. I'll step aside. I'll let somebody else take over for me here, and we'll look at the Word. We'll look at the book, how you can know today that you have eternal life. Or if you want to just grab me afterwards and say, Scott, I want to talk to you. Most important decision anyone can ever make in their entire life. What are they going to do with Jesus Christ, the light of the world? Don't leave with that unsettled in your own mind, in your own heart. Let us pray. Father, we truly thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And Lord, it's just not wonderful to know that the spiritual light's first purpose is to expose darkness. And the sin and the ignorance and the death that hides in the dark. But Lord, the light reveals it so that we will know we're broke and we need to be fixed. And the only way we can do that is come to the one who has lighted us up, who's revealed to us God that wants a relationship with us, and has given invitation for us to trust in him, his death on the cross, that we can live forever. Lord, it is to your name and your name alone that we give praise. Amen.